This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher. It's about news, information, ideas, and tips for living life over 55. First, 60 seconds of Do You Remember?
Yesterday, you told me I would be accorded the same privilege as the senator from Maine or anyone else here. Now, will you give me the questions in advance that you want to ask me while I am here? Or will you give them to any third neutral party?
Well, according to Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, it's Howard Hughes, died April of 1976, an American business magnate, investor, aviator, aerospace engineer, filmmaker, philanthropist. He was one of the wealthiest people in the world, and as a maverick film producer, he gained prominence in Hollywood from the late 1920s. Well, hi, everyone. Hopefully your new year has started off on the right foot. And as we enter into the new year, I just wanted to reach out to you about a topic a lot of us are thinking about right now, probably more than any other time of the year generally. And we're fortunate to talk with a health expert from the Pritikin Longevity Center and Spa. Now, Pritikin, if you haven't heard of it, is recognized for its weight loss and health programs, and their experts are, you might say, the go-to gurus for shaping healthy lifestyles for men and women over 55. And one of them is Dr. Gail Canfield. Now, she's the director of nutrition there, and she's able to identify some of the top superfoods and comment on the foods that maybe we should incorporate into our diet in 2014. And our first, Gail, it's just great having you here and having you join us. And, you know, I've heard a lot about Pritikin for a long time.
Pritikin is very focused on disease risk reduction. So I think that is very relevant to the 55-plus population. In fact, all ages, but certainly for 55-plus, when many times is when we begin to experience some of the chronic diseases that happen as a result of our diet and lifestyle. And Pritikin addresses that by addressing good nutrition habits, physical activity, behavioral health issues and things like that to help people reduce their risks for chronic disease.
So it's not ever too late, or it's maybe not ever too late, but it's not too late?
It is never too late. In fact, we have many people that come here that are well over 55 years of age, and by making sometimes even small changes can have a huge impact on things like diabetes and high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk.
So let me ask you, Gail, you have all kinds of credentials after your name, a PhD and an MS and everything. So, you know, you hear on all of these talk shows and on the newsstands by the supermarket checkout, you see all these banners that talk about superfoods. You know, this time of year when everybody's weight conscious and maybe trying to lose a pound or two, what is there in the superfoods? I mean, what is to all that stuff?
It's kind of one of those popular myth terms. In all honesty, there really is no perfect superfood. I would kind of change that terminology a little bit and just say that there are many foods that have very high nutrition value for a really good, let's say, calorie bargain. So foods that have lots of vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients in them that are very healthy for us, very good for us, and can really help us to reduce our disease risks.
Yeah, I have some friends, and it's almost as if they're afraid to go in the kitchen and cook.
Well, that there is a little bit of cooking involved, but actually, what I like to encourage people is that they, you know, usually the simpler the better. You don't have to follow a recipe with 25 ingredients to come out with a food that is good and healthy. Just simply putting a piece of salmon, maybe sprinkling a little dill on top and putting it into the oven and baking it for 15 minutes. That's really simple to do and very healthy and good as well.
So what might you add as far as a couple of other things to round out that entree of salmon?
Oh, wow. I would start the meal with a beautiful salad, and I would probably add one or two different types of vegetables, maybe some steamed broccoli and cauliflower there, or grilled asparagus, something like that. It'd be beautiful with that.
So down the road, what is something like that going to mean in terms of our health and lifestyle and vigor and lifespan?
Well, down the road, what that means when you're including foods like vegetables, like fruits, in fact, that's probably, in my opinion, the most important recommendation I would make for people and to how to improve their health is to increase their consumption of fruits and vegetables. These are the two foods, the two categories of foods that have the highest nutrition value, the most vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients, high fiber content of virtually any other food. So incorporating more of those into our daily dietary patterns would help virtually everyone.
So if there's anything to all of the talk about everyone being weight conscious after the first of the year and going on their diets, how does that play into the kind of foods that you're talking about?
I would actually make the exact same recommendations. Believe it or not, the two foods, the two categories of foods that have also the lowest calorie density, which means the highest nutrition value for the fewest calorie dollars, are those very two categories of foods, the fruits and vegetables. And there's many, in fact, hundreds, over about 300 studies in the science literature that tell us and show us that people who eat the most fruits and vegetables actually have the tend to maintain the most normal weights and also have the lowest disease risk across the board of all the chronic diseases.
Of course, remaining disease-free is partly the result of your genes and just good or bad luck.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that there is a genetic link in many of the chronic diseases. And certainly high cholesterol levels for some people is somewhat genetically driven. Now, what I'll tell you is, though, especially for those people, it's critically important that they maintain or that they minimize the amount of dietarily driven cholesterol issues on top of that. Just imagine someone, if they did have the genetic link for high cholesterol levels and they also had poor dietary habits, they're going to have a significantly higher risk than someone who paid more attention to what they were eating. So while there is a genetic link to many of the chronic diseases, what we choose to do with diet, lifestyle, and exercise can significantly influence that genetic risk, even, can influence it positively, or it, at the same token, it can influence it negatively.
Now, I know, Gail, many of us who have weight problems or dietary problems is partly the result of just, well, let's face it, just a bad pattern of what and how we eat. It's a hard habit to break.
I think the patterns that we've developed in the United States are ones that where we simply eat what's out there and making choices. There's no doubt that we do have to make a commitment to make different choices in how and what we're doing. We can't really expect to have any positive changes occur in our health status if we're not willing to make some of the changes to the foods that we are choosing to eat and physical activity. So, yes, I do agree that there is there is a need for some motivation or desire to change and improve our health to be able to do that. Now, what I'd also like to encourage, though, is that many people think that it's really hard. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I just won't be able to eat anything that's good anymore. If something tastes good, it can't be good for me. So we like to show people just the opposite, because the real foods have a beautiful, really a beautiful taste. And it's just a matter of kind of introducing people sometimes to the taste of real food. And what I'm speaking about here is, take a potato, for instance. We're used to putting butter and sour cream and cheese and stuff on a potato because that's what we've always done. So we try to introduce people to trying some new things on their potato that would be not only healthier, but would also make the potato less problematic for weight gain. So things like putting salsa on a potato as opposed to putting, that butter and sour cream can significantly change the face of that potato. It's still really great, but it's a healthier version of that. So little small changes, and even with physical activity, small changes like going out and taking a walk. A lot of people think, "Oh, I've got to put on running shoes and start running 5 miles a day." You don't really have to do that. I mean, there are some very modest and very doable changes that we can do that will significantly increase our health.
Well, Gail, I know the Pritikin has been around for a long time, the Pritikin diet, the Pritikin Longevity Center and Spa, and it seems as though for all of that time, if memory serves me correctly, that they've had a fairly single-minded focus.
Our goal since the day that it began was disease risk reduction. So we have for years been focused on teaching people how to prevent some of these chronic diseases from happening and how to turn it around if they have started happening. The Pritikin program is a program that usually a 1 to 2 week visit with us. So you actually stay with us. We provide all the food that you're eating. We have a beautiful gym here. But the core of our program is our educational program, is our educational component. Because, you know, we can you know, read things and people tell us to do certain activities or do certain changes. But here we give people really skills and tools that they can use when they go back out into the real world. So our educational component is very heavy. We have 12 nutrition classes in a 2 week period of time. So, significant discussion about, in fact, we have 2 classes on how to go into restaurants and come out with a little healthier meals. We have a very extensive class on how to read food labels and know if you're getting a healthy product when you're going into the grocery store. We have a whole slew of medical-related classes, so you learn more about things like cardiovascular disease and prevention of diabetes. We have behavioral health classes to help people kind of change their thinking a little bit and to change some of their behaviors in a positive way. And we also have exercise classes here. So there's a tremendous amount of educational component that we address. In addition to healthy eating, we have cooking schools that our guests go to help them in case they don't have those cooking skills that they might need, or for those that do have the cooking skills to kind of help them to know how to improve them and how to make those little changes that make a big difference. So our education component is really the core, but it's our purpose is to really help people know and pick up those skills and tools they need to make those changes.
So what do you tell somebody who's made that New Year's resolution to improve their diet or to lose weight? What are the first steps that they should do?
In fact, there's two that I would say would be on the very top of the list. And one of them I already mentioned a little bit earlier. Dietarily, if there was one thing that I could suggest and recommend that people do is to incorporate more fruits and vegetables into their eating patterns. When we're eating more fruits and vegetables, typically we're eating less of the things that aren't so healthy. So keeping really healthy foods, just taking a piece of fruit or some vegetables or something with you as a snack, having a banana on your desk, instead of a bowl of M&Ms, those are powerful changes. So increasing more fruits and vegetables is the number one that I would recommend. And number two is just to get moving. That's the physical activity piece. Whether it's just putting on some tennis shoes and going out to walk your dog after dinner, that's going to be a positive improvement. So eat more fruits and vegetables and get moving. Those are the top two.
Well, I sure appreciate your time, and this is a good way to start the new year.
Very good. Well, happy new year to you.
You too.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. And finally, we would love it if you'd register to receive our newsletter. Thanks again.